Well, the hearing itself was supposed to be about appropriations, and it quickly went into policy. And one of the most interesting things about the policy, that was this idea that DoD is developing a updated version of the rules of engagement in cyberspace. Their last time they had developed this policy was in 2004. And as we all know, things have changed so much since in over the last 8 years. Threats are different. Technology is better. And obviously on both sides, the DoD side and the hacker nation state side. So basically the idea here is we need to have better rules of engagement. Now, General Keith Alexander is the commander of the U.S. Cyber Command and the director of the National Security Agency. He describes at a high level a little bit about what the plan is about yesterday before the House Armed Services Committee.
The issue will be what set of authorities will we be given and what are the conditions under which we can conduct those authorities still have to be determined and ironed out within the administration. I do think that's at the top of the list of the cyber things that we're working on right now. I know in USD policy, that's one of the key actions that are going on. And we talk about it on a daily basis, pushing some of those forward. So I'm confident that over the next month or two, some of that will actually go through.
The Assistant Secretary for Global Strategic Affairs for DoD, she says the development of the rules of engagement has been a collaborative process between the Joint Staff, Cyber Command, and the Undersecretary of Policy's office.
And we had a little dropout there. You were referring to Marilyn Creedon, and here's what she said.
We are working closely with the Joint Staff on the implementation of a transitional command and control model for cyberspace operations. This interim framework will standardize existing organizational structures and command relationships across the department for the application of the full spectrum of cyberspace capabilities.
While the plan is under development, Jason, what was the reaction from lawmakers?
Well, lawmakers, I think, support the need to better define DoD's role. In fact, late in the hearing yesterday, Congressman Hank Johnson from Georgia actually grilled General Alexander after an article in Wired magazine said that the NSA is monitoring email and cell phone conversations in the United States. Now, obviously, that's illegal for NSA to do any work, just like the CIA can't do any work within the United States. And now Alexander was clear to dispute the article and say, listen, we don't do those things, nor do we have the authority to do the things. But as you can tell just from that line of questioning, there was some concern about, okay, what is your role? What is your responsibilities? Now, others say DoD may need more authorities. Congressman Rob Andrews says protecting the nation or responding to an attack against the nation should be DoD's responsibility, not DHS's.
I think that the focus ought to be on prevention rather than engagement once the attack has begun. Because these premises are wrong, and this might violate hundreds of years of tradition of posse comitatus, I think if we're worried about a threat coming from outside the United States to attack critical infrastructure, could cripple our economy, our telecommunication systems, our power grid, that the Defense Department ought to be the focal point of the effort, number one, because our technology is more advanced, because the agency is geared that way. And then number two, I think our focus ought to be hardening our systems to prevent an attack, number one, and then talk about responding to it once it occurs. What's wrong with that analysis?
Now, obviously, not many people thought there was much wrong with that analysis. Congressman Michael Conway from Texas actually agrees with Andrew's take as well. He says he's worried about two different rules of engagement, one that DoD is developing, and then one potentially for the rest of the government, which includes the Homeland Security Department, the FBI, and several other agencies. And let's be honest here, General Alexander also seemed to agree with the concept that DoD should be in the lead if the nation is attacked, and very specific attacks by nation states or terrorist organizations. But Alexander also made it clear that, listen, there has to be a whole-of-government approach with Homeland Security, FBI, and DoD all having supporting roles when there are other issues that's not considered nation-state, terrorist organization, or something that could potentially take down, for instance, our telecommunications infrastructure or the electric grid, something that's more focused, let's say, for instance, the Justice Department's website gets hacked. That's not a DoD issue. That's an FBI issue.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. And Jason, did you get a sense of the biggest concerns of cyber overall that DOD has from that hearing yesterday?
Well, I think Alexander and DOD Chief Information Officer Terry Dakai both tried to address what kind of keeps them up at night. Alexander says the Cyber Command is seeing an evolution of attacks.
I'd characterize the threat, Chairman, in three ways. Largely what we see is exploitation and the theft of intellectual property. That's what's going on, the bulk of the cyber events that we see in the United States. In May of 2007, we witnessed a distributed denial of service attack. Think of that as a disruptive attack against Estonia by unknown folks in the Russian area and around the world. What we are concerned about is shifting from exploitation to disruptive attacks to destructive attacks. And what concerns us is that the destructive ones, those attacks that can destroy equipment, are on the horizon, and we have to be prepared for them.
And that's why Alexander says the updated rules of engagement is really key to addressing this evolving threat. Now, as for DOD more broadly, from the CIO's perspective, Terry Takai says DOD is implementing a host-based security system, and it gives DOD better situational awareness of the network, improves their ability to detect, diagnose, and react to cyber attacks. Currently, the host-based system is on the unclassified and top-secret networks. Now, Takai says in the 2013 budget request, they've asked for even more money to continue the deployment of and sustainment of better software, provide automated capability to continually monitor computer configurations, and improve human and device identity management capabilities. And one kind of an aside here, but it's very much related, that identity management capabilities is the key to everything DOD wants to do in the future. That's why things like enterprise email is so important, that more of the services, more of the DOD agencies get on board with enterprise email, according to Terry Takai, because everything from there can be, all the security pieces can be built around it. For instance, and that's a reaction to the WikiLeaks, where the person, you know, allegedly Bradley Manning had access to information he shouldn't really had access to, but with identity management, you could stop that because you can assign roles and responsibilities for people, meaning they can only look at certain things at certain times in certain networks.
And Jason, a lot of the discussion seems to have centered around all of the technologies and what's the biggest threat vector right now and what's the next threat vector. But I want to return just for a second to what Congressman Hank Johnson talked about. And not that Wired magazine, you know, should be the basis of national policy. But at what point does all of the work DOD is doing in cyber start to bump up against, you know, some of the old debates, say, over the Church Amendment and the 70s era discussions about CIA and NSA involvement in surveillance of people and conversations?
Well, I think one of the things that is very clear is that nobody is advocating for DOD to be able to have surveillance over American citizens inside the United States. Now, outside the United States, that's a different story. Obviously, there's been a lot of case law and a lot of discussion about what can the CIA do, for instance, what can DOD do when you have American citizens outside the U.S. But let's be clear, when it's inside the United States, and General Alexander was very specific about this, they don't have the authority, nor do they want the authority to do that. That's in the FBI, Homeland Security's realm to deal with, if you will, insider threats.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of work to go. So at this point, Jason, though, it's fair to summarize by saying that DOD is not in a policy position where it can shoot back at people cyber attacking.
They're not in a policy position from a standpoint of where are we going, what's our roles and responsibilities. I think there are some rules of engagement. Again, these are from 2004. But I think these new rules of engagement really will put them in that position to say, if this happens, then here's our response. And I think that you're going to – that's a key piece. It's a very important document as attacks change, as General Alexander talked about, the destructive attacks. And we saw that with the Stuxnet virus,
sure,
the Aurora experiment. So I think that there's a – I think DOD sees this as a much needed set of policies.